Good morning and welcome again to the broadcast. We appreciate your tuning in today. We're looking at Luke chapter 23 this morning, and we're going to begin in verse 13. Luke chapter 23, beginning in verse 13. We're going to talk today about a thing that people call peer pressure. You hear about that, you perhaps talk about it. Well, we're about to see a case of real peer pressure in the Bible, and this pressure is going to be exerted upon a very powerful man, and his name was Pilate. Luke 23, beginning in verse 13. And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priest and the rulers and the people, said unto them, You have brought this man unto me as one that perverts the people, and behold, I, having examined him before you, have found no fault in this man touching those things whereof you accuse him. No, nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. I will therefore chastise him and release him. Now here's what's happened. Jesus was arrested in the garden by the Jews. He was taken to the Jewish council and tried. He was found guilty of blasphemy. It was a wrongful charge, but that was the charge that they leveled against him. The Jews then took him to Pilate, and when Pilate found out that Jesus was from Galilee, he understood that this was not his jurisdiction, and so he sent Jesus to Herod. Well, when Jesus got to Herod, we found out that Jesus would not answer Herod's questions. He wouldn't give in to Herod's appeals for Jesus to amuse him by doing some miracle. And so Herod got mad at Jesus, and he mocked him, and he sent him back to Pilate. Now, that's where we're at here in this trial, in Luke chapter 23. So Pilate again is examining Jesus. These Jews want him to be crucified. They want him to be put to death. And so Pilate has already told them once, I find no fault in this man. That was the first hearing in Luke chapter 23, verse 4. The first time that they came before Pilate with Jesus, Pilate looked at Jesus. He listened to what they were saying about him. And Pilate said, I don't see anything wrong with this man. I don't find that he's broken any law. So the second time now, the Bible tells us that he comes to these people, these Jews, and he says, I find no fault in this man concerning those things whereof you accuse him. And he said, I certainly don't find anything worthy of death or deserving of capital punishment. And then a curious thing, a strange thing, is found in verse 16. Pilate has already said, this man has done nothing wrong. Now we find that plainly again in verse 4, and then in verse 14, but in verse 15, it looks like that he's beginning to moderate, or he's beginning to compromise a little bit. Because you see, in verse 4 and verse 14, he says, I find no fault in this man. He says, I find no fault about the things that you've accused him of. But then in verse 15, he doesn't say, I find no fault in this man. He says, I don't find anything worthy of death that's been done by him. He doesn't say that he's done nothing wrong. He doesn't say Jesus, in that verse, is completely innocent. He simply says, I don't see that there's any cause to put him to death. So what we find then in verse 16 is that Pilate, who is a politician, and he's used to reaching compromises, he's used to taking one side and the opposite side and meeting in the middle, and oftentimes he was used to surrendering a principle, going against what was right or what was wrong, and doing that for the sake of political expediency, just to get things to work out and just to satisfy people or to keep them happy, at least to keep them happy so that there wouldn't be a riot or something like that. That's what he's used to doing. So he's used to striking deals. And striking deals may be necessary in politics, but I tell you folks, when it involves a compromise of what is right, then striking a deal is a wrong thing and a cowardly thing to do. And that's what he's doing here. He's already said that Jesus was innocent. He's already said, I don't find any fault. Notice it in verse 4, I find no fault in this man. But now he comes back in verse 16 later because these Jews just keep on pounding him with these criticisms, and they keep on insisting that Jesus ought to be punished. Now he tries to strike this compromise and strike a deal. He tries to please both sides. He tries to soothe his own conscience or his own conviction about right and wrong, his own sense of justice here by saying, well, I don't need to put him to death. But on the other hand, he's going to have to try to please these Jews because they just keep coming at him. So he feels like he's got to do something to quieten them down and to satisfy them. So he tries to meet them in the middle, and he refuses to do nothing to Jesus. But on the other hand, he refuses to put him to death at this point. So he says, I'll meet you in the middle here, and let's just agree to chastise him. Now the chastisement here in verse 16 is a special form of punishment, and it was severe. This chastisement was scourging. Now we know that because of what Matthew says and other gospel writers record. This was scourging, and it was not simply a whip of leather. It was a whip that had on the ends of that whip pieces of metal or pieces of bone or rock or anything else that would cut the skin. And so it was a terrible instrument of torture. And these Romans were used to using that scourge. So Pilate said, look, we won't put him to death here because I don't see any cause to put him to death. But what we will do is we will scourge him because that will teach him a lesson if he's been guilty of something. Now you see, already, he's not really being true to his convictions here because he has said that the man has not done anything wrong, and yet he's going to punish him. Well, you see, we find here, folks, that this man Pilate is already giving in. He's already doing something unfair. Even before he gave the order to execute Jesus, to have him crucified, he's already doing something unfair and unjust. He's going against principles of right and wrong because he's going to have an innocent man scourged here. And there's something even deeper about that. Now stay with me here and think about this. And let me pose it in the form of a question. And that is, what is the purpose of punishment, or what are the purposes of punishment to begin with? Well, when it comes to civil law, and when it regards somebody breaking that law, society has to deal with criminals. Because if you just let them go, if you just let people who are criminals do anything that they want to, well, society, of course, is going to collapse, and innocent people are going to suffer even more. So societies around the world have always come up with ways to punish evildoers. Why? Well, one reason is for the purpose of deterrence. And that means that the punishment is given to deter or to prevent an evildoer from committing that same act again or from committing it in the first place, to prevent evil. So the Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes 8, verse 11, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Ecclesiastes 8, verse 11 says, if you don't punish evil, then evil is going to spread. It's just as simple as that. So number one reason is deterrence. Number two reason is reformation. To get that person not simply to stop sinning, but to cause that person to reform his life, to get that person to do better. And so you put people in jail, you fine people, or what you find here is that the Romans would scourge people or whip people in order to get those people to live a better life, to be good citizens rather than bad citizens. And so that is a legitimate reason for punishment. But the third reason is the most basic, and it is the most fundamental reason for punishing wrongdoers, and that is for retribution. That simply means that punishment ought to be given because when a man does wrong, he deserves to be punished. Why do parents punish a child? Well, number one, to keep him from doing that again. Number two, to get him to do better. But number three, to teach him that when he breaks the rules, when he does something that he should not do, that he's going to be punished, and he deserves to be punished because he's done wrong. And that's what you find in the case of punishment in the Bible. Well, you see, what Pilate has done here is that he has gone against the most fundamental principle of punishing people, and that is retribution, because Jesus does not deserve this punishment. But he's willing to throw that out the window. You see, that kind of reasoning and that kind of unprincipled action does away with any kind of real justice in the world. But this Roman ruler, this politician, this government official is willing to do that. The Bible says in verse 17, "For he must of necessity release one unto them at the feast. And they, that is the Jews, cried out all at once, saying, Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas, who for a certain sedition made in the city, and for murder was cast into prison." So here you've got a choice. You've got a man who was an insurrectionist. You've got a man who was guilty of murder. And on the other hand, you've got a man who never did anything wrong. Now the choice should not only have been clear for the Jews, but it should have been obvious to Pilate himself. Pilate knew that Barabbas was a murderer, and he knew that Jesus had done nothing wrong. But the Bible says in verse 20, "Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake unto them again. But they cried, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. And when he had said unto them the third time, Why, what evil has he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. And they were instant, that is, they were insistent with loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified, and the voices of them and of the chief priest prevailed. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required." So Pilate resisted the first time, he resisted the second time, he told them the third time that Jesus was not worthy of death, and then he gave in to them. And he put Jesus to death, knowing that he should not have done that. Well, folks, again, what we find here is old-fashioned peer pressure. They put so much pressure on him that he gave in. But he was responsible, folks. He could have told them no the fourth time, and the fifth time, and the sixth time. But isn't that how peer pressure works today? When you have a young person that keeps being pressured, when you have a teenager who is pressured to have premarital sex, to use drugs, to drink alcohol, to steal, to break the law, and his friends or her friends just keep putting pressure on this individual, or you've got an older person, and that person's family, that person's friends, and other people who put pressure on this individual, until finally, this person gives in. It happened to Peter just before this. It happened to Pilate. And one of the things we need to remember, of course, is this. It's not just the giving in to peer pressure that we need to be concerned about, but it's also what we do about it once we've made that mistake. You see, what Peter did was to correct his mistake, to seek forgiveness, and to get back up on his feet and to do better. Pilate, however, did not, and his name goes down in infamy because of what he did. And folks, this is why the Apostle Paul said, "Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, and put on the whole armor of God." Because the devil is going to try to pressure you every day to compromise and to give in. And he often does that through the people that are closest to you. Thank you for listening today. I hope that this broadcast has helped you in some way. And we hope that you have a great rest of the day.